News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 3rd of July, Anno Domini 2005, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites on this 3rd of July. To all you Americans, I'd like to say in a little early happy birthday. Yep. Happy 4th of July.
Well, the 1st was Canada Day.
The first was Canada Day. Happy birthday to all our Canadian neighbors. There's a comedian, I don't remember his name, but he says he's a Canadian. He said it's very kind of tough to be a Canadian. It's like living upstairs to a really good party. But happy Canadian Day, Canada Day to all you Canadians, and happy birthday to all you Americans. We're going to be taking your phone calls and talking about interesting stuff. We're all here this week. It's going to be an interesting few hours, but we're going to start with Dave. He's got some things to talk about.
Yeah. Well, one, it's kind of a sad day because today's the last day from Donuts Delight. I tried to get in there and bring us in some donuts, but the line was out the door.
That's the sad part. We didn't get any. That's the sad part.
Yeah. Right, I was going to go, but the line is literally out the street. Oh, sure. The other thing that I wanted to talk about basically is, and I've been running into this. Matter of fact, I got a computer at the shop right now, but we've been seeing it quite a bit. Folks are going out right now and buying these games. And I've said this before. You know, they go out and buy a game, bring it home, try to get it on their computer, and it won't work. Now, if the person, you know, the individual had taken the time to look at the bottom or even on the side of the box.
You're right.
On all the games, this one happened to be SimCity 2, I think it is. There's requirements. And the requirements for this was at least 256K of memory.
Meg.
Or 256 meg of memory and a 32 meg video card.
Yep.
This individual only had 128 meg of memory. And the onboard video, which is like
sharing that 128 meg.
Right. Is another dedicated 8 meg of memory.
Mm-hmm.
So right off the bat, he's looking at, you know, we got to put in another 256 stick. We got to put in a better video card. And hopefully you'll save enough storage. But they go out and, you know, purchase these games and everything else, and you got to look at the requirements. So before you go shopping, and sure, your son or daughter might want this particular game or you might want it, first go in knowing what your specifications of your machine are, so that when you go and get it, you don't wind up getting a game, getting it home, and then frustrated because it won't work.
And right? Most of the time, after you open a software box, the stores won't take it back because they don't want you to take it home, open the box, make a copy, and return it.
And that's what some folks do, and that's what they got to worry about. I mean, it's piracy.
And it's not just games, but especially games. Any program you buy will have a system requirements on the box.
Yep.
You should know how much memory your computer has, how much free disk space it has, and what processing speed it has. And for games especially, what video memory
and
you have.
And even within Windows XP, there's enough utilities under accessories and system tools you can look this up. It'll give you all the information. Your processor speed is right there in under system and how much memory. You want to go into the video. If you go under the service manager, it'll tell you the type of video memory you have. And there's other utilities that you can download from the internet that will tell you everything about your system and probably more than you want to know.
The other big problem that I tend to see a lot is people who've gone to the bargain bin and purchased an old game, which was originally designed to run under Windows 95 or 98.
Or DOS.
So it's going to run fine on their system because it's, you know, they've got enough RAM, they've got a good video card. The problem is when they install it, it changes their auto exec, it screws up all these files, puts it in its own video drivers, and then the rest of their system is completely screwed up.
Yep.
The reality is that 99 times out of 100, you can't really play those old games on new machines.
It's a good reason to keep an old machine lying around.
Exactly. But then you can't. Well, then you don't ever want to put it on the net because you're not going to get updates and everything else. But speaking of which, Windows 2000 is now out of warranty. You cannot get the free updates anymore. There'll still be some security updates.
I just had to rebuild the 2000 machine this week.
Yeah, right. You'll be able to pay for some upgrades, but you and support, but you can't get it free anymore.
98's going away.
98's same thing, and so it you know Microsoft is telling us those are old systems, and we got to move up to the new stuff.
It's yep.
It's time.
And it's frustrating when you have an older computer and you want to run this software and you can't because now you can't get it to work on your computer. You got to buy a whole new computer.
Yep.
Right. 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 Well, the good news is most machines that can run 2000 can run XP without any real trouble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now we run into the problem of that upgrade. If you if you do an upgrade as opposed to a fresh install, that upgrade can cause problems if there's anything in the registry that's not kosher.
Plus, 2000 would run great with 256 mega 256 mega memory, but you want 512 to
for
really
XP.
Run better
right.
for XP.
Right. Interesting set of problems, but hey, price of poker keeps going up. I've been saying that for years.
Yep.
Years. We're going to go to the phones now, and our first caller is David from Geneseo, New York. Welcome, David. What's your question?
Well, I've got one of those old computers you were talking about, and I think the monitor may be dying.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
The major symptoms symptom is that it turns itself off repeatedly, especially during...
The monitor does, not the computer.
The monitor does, right. It clicks, and then the screen goes black. And if you hit the power button on the monitor, the screen will come back up, and you'll see whatever whatever it's displaying. But it often then will just click off again immediately or after a few seconds. It doesn't seem to be dependent upon what program is running. Happens during Outlook Express, Internet
Explorer. Yeah, I'm sure it has nothing to do with your computer and everything to do with the monitor itself.
Have you tried another monitor on it?
I have not. I don't have one that would run on that computer.
Well, it's a good time to go out and treat yourself to, say, like a 17-inch flat panel.
Well, that brings and that brings up another question: is while you're upgrading your monitor, you know, maybe you want to upgrade your computer too.
Right. Yeah. What it sounds like is either well, it could be heat related. That is to say, when it's cooled down. It works fine, right?
Yeah, the tube.
Once the tube cools down and everything, it works fine for a while until it heats up again. So it could very easily be heat-related. But whatever it is, it does definitely sound like it's the monitor that's the problem and not the computer. It's unless you changed the video driver recently.
I have not changed the video. Well, about 2 years ago, we put in a new video card.
Yeah, no.
But this did not start happening... Right after that or anything.
Right.
Yeah, but anytime you change a video, you'll still get something on the screen. It might be scrambled and everything else.
Right.
It just doesn't shut it off.
Right. Well, I just to find out if it was a possibility.
There is.
Oh, yeah.
It definitely sounds like the monitor. It's definitely time to replace it.
Well, there is a company on Scottsville Road near Jefferson.
Kinescope.
Rochester Kinescopes.
Larry.
Larry's a great guy down there.
Yeah, he does.
He does mostly TV repairs, but he also does monitors.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
They're pretty close to TVs.
And the nice thing about Larry, too, is, though, he'll also tell folks whether it's worth fixing or not.
Right, yeah. You know, a 15-inch monitor you can get for $20 in the cereal box. So.
Yeah, and he sells so used ones down there, too.
Yeah, so replacing a CRT monitor is usually very cheap and makes fixing them not that cost-effective.
Now, this machine, it is running Windows 98 SE. Am I going to have a difficulty finding a new monitor that has drivers for 98?
No. Like you say, or you can, like you say, check out our friend Larry at Kinescopes. He has used ones.
Okay.
Yeah, generally, the monitor doesn't care what OS it's running on. It's the video card putting out the frequency.
It'll
that
tell
the monitor
you if
supports.
It's having a problem with the sync.
Yeah.
Another symptom is there also are parallel lines running on the screen.
Yeah, that tube is going.
Sounds like it.
Something in that monitor is going. It's time to replace it.
Yep.
Now, I've got a question for you. You're down in Geneseo, anywhere near the airfield.
About 2 miles,
two and
a half miles.
Because this weekend is the New York Power rocket launch by the Monroe Astronomical Society.
Oh.
And next weekend is the 1941 air show at the Geneseo Airport. So
well, next weekend is our Geneseo Summer Festival.
Yeah.
Please come on down.
Got to look for all the rockets launching this weekend and the airplanes next weekend.
There you go. Luckily, they're two different weekends. We're going to take a break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. We have Bruce and Frank on the line, so give us a call on Soundbites on 1180 WHA.
Guys can answer your questions. Back to more Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites. Our next caller, Bruce, from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Bruce. What's your question?
Hi, guys.
Hey. Hi there.
My question involves Windows 2K, which is told me is now out of warranty.
Right.
I'm trying to put together a test report, and one of the things is I want to audit the event log for the shutdown.
Yeah.
And I can do it in Windows XP.
Yep.
It reports I'm shutting down and when I'm starting up. But in Windows 2000, all I can find is a report in the security log of when it starts up, not when it shuts down.
Yep.
Is a registry setting? Nope.
Well, there may be a registry hack for it, but part of the problem with Windows 2000 is that it just didn't have most of the stuff. People complained constantly about the event log, and they fixed it in XP, basically, is what we're talking about.
Yeah, because they were more worried about just making sure, keeping track of how it booted up, and if you're having any issues there.
You're not supposed to shut it down.
Yeah, the event log, up until XP, the event log was really designed for the Microsoft engineers so that they could figure out what was wrong with the system. What they didn't understand is that the businesses, Microsoft is slow to catch on sometimes, they didn't really understand that businesses want auditing for a whole bunch of other things that they added in XP. I mean, they catch up eventually, they get smart, but they weren't until XP. So a lot of the things that you want to do as a system administrator, there's no help for you until XP.
Okay.
There's probably third-party event tracking stuff, maybe.
It's not cheap.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for the information.
Sorry.
But that's the way Windows is famous for that, changing things. You get used to it in one spot. Or a special feature, and then they change it. Well, take like Windows NT 4.0. I was just talking to somebody about this.
Sure.
In Windows NT 4.0, you could sit and create one user and give them certain rights. And once they're created, then you could just say copy.
Mm-hmm.
And you could sit there and copy, and then add them to that group.
Right.
Now with Windows, it even started with 2002 and then 3 now. You've got to create each user one at a time.
I've already had that problem.
Yeah.
Isn't that a pain in the butt? I mean, here's a feature that was working great, and they take it out of future products.
Well, what they're saying is best practices for security is you don't create users with rights. You create groups with rights, and then you put users into groups.
But even a user, I could sit there and say a user, and then add that user to the group.
Right. Right.
So,
all right. Thanks, Bruce. I apologize for not giving you an answer you really wanted to hear, but
that's Windows.
Sometimes that's the answer there is.
Yeah,
exactly. We give you the answer there is, not the answer you want to hear. Our next caller is Frank, calling in on a cell phone. Of course, you're pulled over by the side of the road, right, Frank?
I'm at home by now.
All right, good.
The previous caller about the monitor going off.
Yeah.
I had the same problem, and I was about to replace my monitor, and it turned out to be I had an office backup power supply,
right,
and the batteries went weak on it, and what it would do is tell the monitor to shut down. And all it was is I replaced the battery backup unit, and the monitor was fine. I've had it for probably 4 more years since then.
That's a good tip. Try plugging to the previous caller. Try plugging the monitor into a different outlet and see what happens.
A straight outlet. It'll tell you right away if it's the if he has a backup battery unit.
Yeah, it's a parachute system telling it, thinking it's getting a weak signal and it's shutting it down.
Right, and that's all it was. I mean, I went nuts. I was going to replace the whole monitor, and all it was the battery unit.
Yeah,
well,
he didn't state whether he was on a UPS or not.
Yeah, we didn't ask.
Yeah, and usually if someone knows enough to buy the UPS, they say they have one.
And but, usually they'll beep, too. I mean, if they're going, it'll usually give you a warning, so you should have got
this didn't do that. I mean, the computer ran, but the monitor kept shutting off.
Okay.
And the same symptoms he had. So have him check that if he's listening.
That's an excellent point.
Of course he is.
Thank you, Frank.
And it's also a good idea, some of your computer buddies, see if you can convince someone to haul their monitor in and check it on your computer.
Right.
Take your computer over to them.
Yeah, depending on which one's heavier.
And that's why we're all, but if it doesn't happen for a couple hours, it's a pain in the neck. But even so, that's what we always say about the repair places like you guys run. one of the things that is good about you guys is you've got the tools, you've got mm-hmm. the parts, so you can find a problem a lot faster than an individual
yeah.
could. Because you can swap pieces out, try different things, known good equipment, let it run, get it done. It's mm-hmm. That's what makes some of that work. Listen, we're going to take another break, but we're going to, and it'll be time for the news. And I know you've been looking forward to that. So we'll let that happen because we're generous people here at Soundbites. And then when we come back, we'll have a lot more of Dave Enright, a lot more of Steve Ray, a lot more of Rob Linton, a lot more of Nick Francesco, and a lot more of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe. And you know what show that is on this beautiful 3rd of July, coming up the 4th of July. I'm a patriotic guy and I love the 4th. I admit it. I love the 4th of July. It used to be patriotism was corny. Now it's what everybody's about. Yeah. So now I'm reluctant to talk about it because it's like, yeah, everybody talks about patriotism, whether they believe it or not. But I do. I love this country. I think 4th of July is a great time. Happy birthday to each and every one of you out there. Like I said, we're going to have the news, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more sound bites on 1180. Where? WHAM.
Nathan Phillips Day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Except you weren't on
Soundbites.
Have you got echo? You got reverb? Reverb? Hello?
Not live.
Have you ever been on a board before? Is there reverb on the board?
Okay, it's radio. We don't have reverb on the radio.
What do you mean you don't have it on the board?
This is a... You're lucky he even knows what reverb means.
Yeah, he's not old enough.
He's a DJ, so he knows what that stuff is.
Yeah, you don't have it on these boards.
Okay, that's it from you. That's it. No, you don't have
What do you want me to tell you? What do you want to call up the boss and say, order a reverb for Nick?
Yes.
No, it's okay. I'll make my own.
How was that?
People of Earth, attention. People of Earth, attention. Come on. Oh, man. You guys
War of the Worlds.
You're puppies. No, that's not War of the Worlds. But that's all right. It's Earth versus the Flying Saucers. It's a whole other story. Yeah.
Now, she's got those sound effects.
Yeah, sure. He's got that stuff, but no reverb. Nice.
I'll tell you what, you want reverb, I'll get you a couple drinks, then you can have reverb.
Yeah.
You
know at least inside my own head, right? Whether anybody else hears it or not is a different story.
One thing I wanted to do, though, is remind folks, put it on your calendar, because it's just literally a week away, on July 10th, or 11th, 11th, rather.
Monday night,
we are going to be at the Grease Library. That's all four of us, Nick, Steve, Dave, and Rob, maybe I'll be there. Litton.
Forgot my name.
No.
Don't look at me when you say that. I know who you are. It's him.
I didn't forget his name.
It's the one with the lighter mustache. Not by much anymore.
That's all right. This morning, Jim Salmon called me Bob. I'm like, what's going on? Am I even here?
No,
I was trying to Rob.
It's all you know.
What I was trying to roll out is how you say it.
Oh, Rob Linton.
Thank you.
There you go.
You're gonna be mad.
Well, it's a show, you know.
He asked.
Yes, I asked.
We do requests.
Because we're going to be there answering your questions. It starts at 7 o'clock. It's over at the Grease Library on July 11th. It's a Monday night. So, you're not toting the kids off to soccer and everything else. Come on out, and it's going to be a fun time.
That's on Vince Toffany Boulevard, off of Long Pond, just north of Latta.
Beautiful library.
Very beautiful library.
Brand new,
City
and,
Hall complex.
Great facility. Matter of fact,
my tax dollars at work as a Grease resident.
Well, they moved us into another room because once they got word that, you know.
The fish tank. You got to go early just to see that fish tank. It's 100
yeah, the fish
feet long.
Fish tanks in the walls or something like that, I guess, are incredible.
The fish tank is the wall between the reading room and the children's library. So you haven't even been in there yet.
But you don't.
I'm going to show
up. But the thing is, though, is you don't have to live in Greece to come. It's open to the general public. You can come, like I say, at 7 o'clock, and we're going to be talking about computers, some of the technology from where we see it, and then also, like we normally do on a lot of our road shows, is take your questions. So, you know, if you didn't have a chance to call in on a Sunday because you're off doing other things with the family, definitely come out on July 11th and get your question maybe answered there. I won't guarantee
it, but
we'll
try. It's going to be a fun time. We always have a fun time when we're out on the road. We love doing that, and it's going to be fun. Definitely come out and see the library early because it's a beautiful facility. And come and talk to us. Shake our hands.
They have a spot on their webpage for the aquarium that generates so much interest. Pictures of the aquarium.
Is it a live webcam? Aquarium webcam?
Not yet. We'll have to talk to them about that,
for heaven's sake.
Rochester.lib.ny.us/Greece.
/aquarium.htm.
Yeah, the main.
lib.ny.us/Greece.
Greece Public Library. I'll put that on our link list.
I was about to say, put it on the link list so everybody knows what we're doing, where we're going.
They have a calendar of events.
They have free wireless hotspots. So for those of you who can't bear to be away from your technology for 45 minutes, you can bring your laptop down and hook up wirelessly while we're there. And maybe
I think we're going to be there for at least a couple.
Seven to nine,
I think is what they got it scheduled for us to have us show up and. I say, have a good time. Usually, not to brag or anything, but usually after our talks, they usually wind up moving out into the parking lot because they close the library.
Yeah, the library closes at 9, so the after meeting will be at the parking lot.
Out in the parking lot, right. Which happens quite often to us.
It's a nice
we don't always
nice
get a
night.
Chance to ask, you know, answer everybody's question. We try to do our best.
There's a child in the aquarium. Oh, behind the aquarium.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah, but definitely show up early because if you show up late, a couple of things are going to happen. First, you're not going to get a decent seat in the front. Secondly, you're going to miss all the fun stuff. We will talk to people outside in the parking lot, assuming there are no mosquitoes.
Yeah.
And then, but definitely show up early.
For $10 per minute.
We sign. Autographs are cheap, really, after a show. They're down to $10 a piece. I think that's very generous.
Two drink minimum,
$10 for an autograph. We'll talk to anybody who'll take us to the nearest bar and buy us a
Now tell people you're
pop.
Kidding, because there's people that are going to come and think
we
you're
never
serious.
Charge for any of that. Who would think we're? When was the last time we were serious about anything? First,
you charge me for everything.
Well, yeah, you're different though.
Yeah,
you're special. I keep telling you, you're special.
Yeah, and we still got an order of cookies coming that we haven't seen.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you're going to hear about that this afternoon.
But yeah, we definitely do not. Charge for autographs. In fact, we don't even give autographs, so don't bother to even bring a pen. We don't give autographs, but we do.
You don't?
We've been known
yeah.
to.
Yeah, I have.
To, absolutely, but we don't charge for those autographs because they're not really worth anything. When you get right to
it. As long as it's not on a blank check.
That's right. We don't sign blank checks.
Okay, this is what happens when there's no phone calls. See what I'm saying?
It's us talking.
That's such a beautiful day. Everyone's outside listening.
It's the 4th of July weekend. Who's in town? People aren't even at their computers. They're doing that analog
stuff. See what gas prices are?
I know.
The corner gas. Yeah. Well, it's what really annoys me is across the county the difference is the corner gas station by my house is $2.36.
Yeah.
The gas station in Irondequoit that I go to all the time is $2.22.
Yeah.
So it's a 12-15 cent difference across the county. That's stupid.
I'm seriously starting to look at those hybrid vehicles. Because, you know, they're saying, well, they're great and you get lower gas mileage, but the payback is a long time. Well, if the gas prices go up to $3, it's going to be a much shorter payback than it used to be.
Yep.
I'm seriously looking at a hybrid vehicle. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Nick Francesco. The corn will keep on popping.
It's not.
And if any of you call in, we'll take your phone calls at Soundbites at 1180 WHAM.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we have good news. People have taken pity on us and have called in. Our first caller is Linda from Greece. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Hi. Yes, I took pity on you guys. I figured I'd call in.
Thank you so much.
I'm getting a new computer. I finally decided. And I've got a couple of questions. First, what do you think of an AM 64-bit processor?
I love the AMD 64-bit processors. The problem is, what are you going to run on it?
I'm getting Windows.
Well, there's no 64-bit Windows available reasonably. There's no 64-bit programs available reasonably. So you end up
running the same 32-bit stuff on the 64-bit processor and wasting the machine, really. You know, if you're running Windows 2005 server.
No, Windows XP.
Well, see, there isn't a 64-bit version. I don't know that I would, if I were a home user and not running Linux, I don't entirely know that I would spend the money on the AMD 64-bit processor yet, because there's just no home operating system.
You're dressed up and no place to go.
Exactly, and certainly no programs for it. Now, it'll run all the 32-bit stuff, but boy, it's a waste of, it's like buying a Porsche to just drive to the store and get milk.
Yeah, but you know what? Most of the chips out there, you know, because of the... just a chain of events, the 64s are very reasonably priced. Even though you're wasting, you know, like you said, not being able to take advantage of it. But the price point that they've got those chips right now, it's like you've got your ticket for the ball, but when they finally actually come out with the announcement of the date, you know, that they're going to have this software and that, you'll be ready for the dance.
Yeah, I don't know when Windows will come out with a 64-bit version of AMD.
Maybe next year. After
Longhorn.
Chips come out.
Maybe. Well, you know what? Longhorn's 3 years late.
Right. After Longhorn, they'll have the 64-bit.
But, Linda, the answer to your question is, yes, I still like the AMD chips. Yeah, like Nick said, you might be spending, and it's really only pennies.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking just a few dollars difference between, say, an AMD 64 2800 plus versus, a 3000 plus. They're literally only a couple dollars, and then you can go up to the 32 or the 34.
Yeah. I am having it billed locally, and it's going to be a 3200. I got a very reasonable price because I know somebody who does it.
Okay. It certainly can't hurt to go for it.
Okay, now my next question is, I've got Roadrunner, and I've got a hardware firewall.
Yep.
Now, since I'm getting a new system, do I just plug that into the new system, or is there something I have to do?
One thing you're going to want to do, if you've got a hardware firewall,
yes,
you're going to get this with Windows XP Service Pack 2 on it.
Right.
So what you're going to want them do, have them do it for you, is turn off the Windows firewall. Because if you've got an external firewall, you don't need the one built into Windows, and by default, that firewall automatically comes on.
He told me Service Pack 2 came with it. Can it be turned off?
Yeah, you can turn it off.
Okay, then
you have to turn off the warning that Windows yells at you that the firewall's turned off.
Yeah.
How would I do that? I'm taking
just have him do it for you.
Oh, just have him do it? Okay.
Yeah, he can set it up while he's installing the computer. It takes 30 seconds to turn that off, and like Steve said, the warning.
Okay, how about Roadrunner? Do I just plug that back in then?
Yeah, not a problem.
You'll have onboard networking, so it'll just plug in there and see it once it... Matter of fact, have it plugged in when you boot up the machine for the first time. And it'll automatically get the IP address, and away you go.
Okay, well, see, you guys will be able to answer my questions.
There you go. It's our pleasure, Linda. Thanks for calling. Our next caller is Mary from Shalott, New York. Welcome, Mary. What's your question?
Hi. Well, first I want to confess, at 6 o'clock this morning, I was out watching the Kodak Falcons.
There you go.
Now, have they fledged fully, or?
Yes, they're learning to fly, and it's fantastic watching them starting to play tag with each other as they gain confidence. They were playing tag this morning.
There've been some people. There's some people with some pretty big telescopes down at the Kodak parking lot.
Yeah,
and you can't see very many stars in Rochester. Oh no, the birds.
The pictures that they're putting up on that Kodak website are just fantastic.
Some of those folks. Who's that one guy who does a lot of the fantastic stuff with it?
Well, there's a guy named Shaky.
He's the one that's done also when the Blue Angels net were here last year.
He superimposed them, yes.
Yeah, he put the helmets on the birds. I mean, he did some real good stuff.
Okay, the music is coming up. You need to break?
Yeah, if you would, just hold on, and we'll get back to you right after the break.
Okay. Hold on, Mary. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with
sort of sidetracked.
Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, who's Mary it? From Shalott. We've got Steve and Bob on the line.
Rob's in an odd musical mode today.
Rob's just odd. We know that. It's not a problem. On Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
For over 15 years. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Ride 'em Cowboy. And we're back with Mary from Shalott here on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, Mary.
Here's my question. If you've installed downloaded too many things on your computer,
mm-hmm.
so that it's taking an inordinate amount of time for, you know, for your start menu for the computer to come up, and you want to uninstall things,
mm-hmm.
sometimes things play spoil sport and they take things you need with them. How can you safely start saying, okay, uninstall this, uninstall
do it
this.
From the add remove in the control panel? What
okay.
version of Windows are you running?
Windows 2000.
Okay, if you go into the control panel under add remove programs,
okay.
That's the best place to remove things.
It'll but give sometimes you a, it will still remove things that you may need for something else.
Yeah, usually, but it'll give you a warning, though. It'll say it'll well, tell you whether it's being used, this particular file
well, it
being
tells,
used.
It tells you it could be used by another yeah. program. Doesn't tell you it is,
okay.
which is annoying. So the answer to your question is you can't.
You
can minimize the problem by using the add remove control
panel.
Now,
are you
panel.
Talking about... pieces of programs like
well, okay,
DLLs
like,
or just extra little
the weather
utilities.
Channels, desktop weather, things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can uninstall it from there.
And Real Player.
Well, Real Player puts so much junk on
yeah,
your
it's
machine.
Garbage, yeah.
Yeah, that I don't even install Real Player.
Most of the times
anymore.
The installer doesn't install and uninstall enough when you
right.
want when
yeah,
you want it
right.
to.
The weather channels, what, there's a bunch of weather bugs out there that you have to be very careful of. Most of them are spyware.
Right. This one has you know the official Weather Channel logo on it, so I didn't think it would be as...
Yeah, but it's still adding some stuff to your system, and if you disable that stuff, it won't run. But, yeah, there's really no way... If something has installed itself... people are pretty good about writing installers and really bad about writing uninstallers.
Okay.
I hate to say that, but yeah. it's simply true.
So it's installer beware.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really is true, and
sometimes,
I'm sorry to say it.
Sometimes you can find an installer log file.
Ah.
And it shows you the 20,000 programs and files and DLLs it loaded for you.
Right.
But you still got to be careful when you delete
right.
those that they're not being used by other programs.
Yeah, sometimes they'll come up and say, oh, I think this DLL is now free. Should I uninstall it? I always say no.
Okay.
You
well.
Know, but the reality is that you can't always tell, and sometimes something will install a program and not uninstall it. Sometimes it'll uninstall something it really has no business uninstalling. It's a crapshoot, Mary.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Sure, thank you. I hate to say that, but it's
yeah,
absolutely true. Our
life.
Next caller, Stephen from Rochester. Welcome, Stephen. What's your question?
Hello, yeah. I called last week about digital art. I got one more question since you guys didn't have any calls, and I won't bother you again for a while.
No, no.
Never bother.
All right, but this is a good one. Now, this still goes back to the art. Now, I would like on a beautiful day like today, I'd love to be able to go outside, take a notebook computer with me, and just stay, go to some scene and paint. You know, years ago, I used to do it with oils, but then you'd sit there and you'd get bugs
mm-hmm.
popping on it and pollen. You'd be picking that off the canvas. Then you got to take a wet oil canvas. But this way, the only thing you might have to clean off is maybe your LCD screen,
right.
maybe the bugs off of that. But you can get perfect artwork, and using digital art is really fantastic with the right programs.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
right.
here's the problem. First of all, is there any notebooks out there right now or laptops that can get you up to maybe like 8 hours worth of battery use so it doesn't die out on you on the place?
Are you talking about using a touch screen?
Yeah. Now,
then
basically,
no.
what you could do, would you be able to plug in, say, like a Wacom board to a USB 2.0 port?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, so you could hook up a Wacom board and use it off of there.
Spare batteries or a long extension cord.
Yeah.
Or there are companies that make solar rechargers. Now, I don't know that you can use them for primary power.
Yeah.
Supplemental power.
But
there's that Zinc Air battery. Was it Lind? Lind Electronics does a lot of battery and power type stuff. There was a company that had a Zinc Air battery, which really boggles the electronic mind.
Right, right, right.
But it's basically it's the size of a sheet of paper, so it's very wide and designed to fit under your laptop, but can provide 8 to 10 hours of battery life.
But the problem he's going to have
those lifters that do that.
Yeah.
One of the problems though he's going to have is because he's doing graphics.
Yeah.
High intense graphics.
Well, processor that's right. You still get 3 or 4 hours out of it. But at any rate, Stephen, what we will try to do is find some links to put up on our website. We have to go now because it's time for the news. And we're gonna take another break. When we come back from the other side of the news, we have an amazing array of things to talk about. We want to talk about what's going on our website at soundbites.org. We're going to talk about the poll. We're going to talk about what's going on at Ask Nick. We're going to talk about Steve's got some rant that he'd like to get off his chest, and heaven knows we can't let him get pent up because then he explodes during the commercials. I'll be talking about stuff. We'll get Rob to say something wonderful and clever and smart again. And and we will be back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with the long-suffering Rob Linton, with me, Nick Francesco. Right now we've got Bob and Ray and Richard on the line, so there's a couple of lines open. We'll be back on the other side of the news, and we'll be bringing you all kinds of wonderful stuff. I want to talk a little bit about the poll and why all of you should have voted for Zilog, and we'll be on back in just a little bit. I'm Nick Francesco, and this is Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham! Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites. We have Bob on the line. No, wait. What did we do? Did we finish with the digital art? Yeah, we did. Yeah,
well, basically, what we've been finding, and there's a few links that we put up on the link list already. There's a lot of stuff on solar-powered battery chargers to extend the length of your laptop or cell phone or PDA battery. And there's a lot of information on a lot of the bicycling boards. The bicyclists like to keep their laptops with them, too, so that you can find stuff there. So we put a couple of links for chargers. Some of them aren't that cheap. It's about $300 for a 15-watt charger.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have cigarette lighter adapters too, so you can plug it into your car and use its battery.
Wear that down so you can't drive home again. And there's no solar recharger for your car yet. We've got a bunch of people on the line, but before we get, like I said, we've got Bob and Ray and Richard and Sal. But before we get to them, I'd like to talk a little bit about what goes on Soundbites. Our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week we do a poll. Last week's poll was about the deep heat of a Rochester summer. We don't really get to put that phrase together very much, but we did talk about what you do during the heat. And 293 of you voted, making it number 114 on our all-time hit list. Thank you all very much. And the number one choice, 30% of you have an air conditioner cranked way down. 27% of you went entirely the opposite direction. They're going commando. 20% of you keep your computer off most of the time. 18% of you MBF, many big fans. And only 12 of you appear to be water-cooled. I suspect that'll go up as time goes on, as mm-hmm. more people get used to that. This week's poll... We've recently heard the announcement from Apple that they are shifting to the Intel platform from the Motorola platform, and that got me to thinking about the people who are Intel bigots and AMD bigots and Motorola bigots, and I thought, well, let's talk about what your preferred CPU manufacturer is. Our choices are Intel, AMD, Motorola, Zilog, don't care, and other. Leave a comment. So far, we've got 70 of you have voted. AMD is edging out Intel. It's a fairly close race, but AMD is inching out Intel, followed by Don't Care, followed by Motorola, followed by one person who had other. That's somebody with a Alpha and Spark lust. And nobody voted for Zilog. Nobody voted for Zilog. And yet, I'll guarantee you that your favorite CPU, and possibly the one you use most, is a Zilog processor. Mm-hmm. Zilog used to make the Z80s, which were in computers and were the hottest things on the market. But they now make most of the chips you will find in controller, universal remotes, remote control things. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a set-top box or a TV that turns on or a clicker that runs that all those things or a VCR, all that stuff, you've got Zilog processors. Your house is lousy with Zilog processors. And I'll guarantee you they're the ones you use the most. Whether you think of them ever is a whole other story, but you use them constantly.
AMD just sued Intel for monopolistic business practices.
Mm-hmm.
So the chip wars are heating up. And I've got an article coming out in the Cider Press and possibly the Computer Link magazine, too. The bottom line for consumers is they don't care.
Right.
You shouldn't necessarily care, and you know, a lot of people don't even know what processor's in their computer. They just want to run their programs.
Yeah.
Right, so they don't care.
That's kind of what we're saying in the Macintosh world. It sort of doesn't matter. We're going to an Intel processor. The Mac is still going to be the Mac.
Yes, it is still going to be the Mac. But you're also the same people who a week earlier were talking about how much better the Motorola chip is because it did more things better and
well,
everything
it is.
Else. And now it doesn't care. I'm sorry, but you pick a stance.
We have a new benchmark now, and it's heat dissipation.
They learn from
the
politicians.
Pentium, yep. The
See, they learn from yeah. politicians yeah. how to
yes. whatever talking point Steve yeah. Jobs gives them, they yep. have to turn
the,
around and
yeah. The Pentium is better at heat dissipation than the PowerPC is.
Yes, it is.
They just take a different spin and still never answer the question.
Right. So instead of getting heat cooled Macs, now you're just going with a different water cooled Macs. Now you're going with a different processor.
Yeah. And for anyone that's ever looked inside their Power Mac and seen the size of that G5 heatsink, and that pretty much explains why we don't have a G5 laptop.
Yeah, right. It would be the size. It would be the size yeah. of the desktop simply to hold the heatsink. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, and I understand that's why they moved. But I would prefer that they had some.
Well, it was kind of funny in the keynote too. If you get a chance to watch the keynote on Apple's website, it's pretty neat. The CEO of Intel came up on stage and they showed some of the old Apple TV commercials
right.
Of the Flaming Bunny Man. You might remember the Pentium commercial for the Pentium 2, I think it was back then.
Right.
The guy in the spacesuits making their Pentiums, and Apple had a commercial where the Pentium guy was on fire because the Pentiums ran so hot.
Right.
And so the Intel CEO said, "We listened, and now our chips are a lot cooler."
Right. Right. They do run very cool, and I think AMDs do too. I don't know. I yeah. still prefer AMD. It's just my personal choice.
The little guy.
Really? Yeah. And they do seem to run a little. Well, anyway. But once you've done that, you'll find that at the bottom, underneath the poll, there's a little yellow box. If you click on Give Us Your Opinion, it will take you to my website at AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com. Thank you. And and you'll find there the option, because I know how you people hate to just click a box. You have to talk. So this gives you a chance to actually leave your opinion on why you prefer a specific CPU, assuming you do. Once you're there, please feel free to look around my website. There's stuff on Nick Lite, which is the free side, and the full Nick, which is the ridiculously cheap pay side. And when you're done with that, stop back on over to soundbites.org. And you can check out all of the cool things going on there, like the forums and everything else. It's a wonderful place to visit and a neat online space. We're going to go back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Bob from Greece, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Hi. I need to upgrade a couple computers. I got an obsolete laptop and an obsolete Power Mac. And I don't know what the best way to do that. I need to end up with a Mac and a PC. And there's, you know, ads every Sunday, and I see for essentially $200 I can get an Intel Celeron PC or a AMD Sephiron PC.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What I have is a monitor, a USB keyboard, printer. I don't know what would be the best way to upgrade. Would a Mini Mac solve the problem and a full monitor package with a cheap PC?
Well, first one thing, though, Bob. Before, you know, we get into either, you know, side that is, what are you going to do with this PC? That's the first thing, you know, if you're going to any place, They should first ask you. A lot of them don't. But, you know, because there's no sense of, you know, like you coming to me and me selling you a Cadillac when you only need a mid-sized car.
Right. I need a I work in a graphics industry. So I need to upgrade my Mac. You know, I can't go to a PC at that end.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the PC, that computer is basically going to a person who uses AOL and Microsoft Office predominantly.
Okay.
Not going to edit video movies or make CDs.
Okay, so yeah, you've got two different needs.
And a lot of times it can be solved with a single computer. One of the advantages the Mac has is it can also run Windows software if you need it to. However, AOL and Microsoft Office both run fine natively on the Mac, and you don't have to worry about the virus and spyware problem that a lot of Windows
Unless
users do, especially
got two
novice
specific
users.
Specific people.
Yeah, I have two physically different locations.
Oh, okay. But yeah, a Mac Mini for $500. Use your existing keyboard.
Stuff.
For a graphic keyboard, you're probably going to want to move up to at least an iMac, which has the G5 processor, which is significantly faster than the G4 and the Mini.
You can do everything you want to do in the Mini, even high-end graphic stuff. It just takes so much longer.
Yeah.
I would suggest a higher-end Mac. Well,
The $1,300 iMac, including the 17-inch flat panel monitor built in. Gives you a pretty great graphics editing suite with the G5 processor. And then for example, a Mac Mini for your other need to run AOL and run Microsoft Office and not worry about spyware and viruses.
But if you do want a PC, then the
Cephron is the right way to go.
It would be a lot cheaper, right? Mac Mini is still a $600 computer.
Yeah.
Once you look at... Yes, the initial selling price, the Mac Mini is $500. You can find cheap PCs for $200 or $300. You're going to spend more than the price difference getting an equivalent machine with the software that comes bundled on the Mac for music and photos.
But he said he doesn't need that, so why spend the money if he goes with the cheaper MPC?
Right.
And the only key thing is that he gets 512K of memory.
Right, and he's already got Office and he's already got all that stuff, and if he has to rebuy that for a new machine.
Yeah. Your first repair bill on the PC is going to outweigh the price difference on the Mac.
Right.
Not necessarily. I mean,
But if what you're looking for is that sort of thing, and it depends. If you make your living at the graphics side, spend all the money you can on that Mac.
Get a G5 Mac.
Yes.
Yeah. Spend all the money you can because that's your bread and butter.
Yeah, if billable hours is a key phrase to you, then you probably
want...
It's
not necessarily that I'll make a living on it at home. It's the computer I've had all my life since the inception of it at my job.
And well, even so, I'd start with a G5, like the iMac or whatever, and then do whatever you got to do at that end. And then get either a Mac or a PC, fairly inexpensive. I don't necessarily know that in either case, I would go with the lowest end product I can find, simply because you're penny wise and pound foolish. You get the absolute cheapest thing you can find, and you find that for a few bucks more, you would have been way better off.
But the Cephron chip, he can get like a 2600 there.
Mm-hmm.
The motherboard though will still support the other Athlon 64 chips. So if he finds out that it's not, he can just replace the chip.
Right.
Whereas if he goes with that and the motherboard will still support it.
Well, but you're saying what I'm saying is instead of that $200 machine, maybe get a $300 or $400 or $500 machine.
Again, it's
whether you go Mac or PC, you're still you're spending more money, but it's going to last a lot longer.
But I'm sure Steve does the same thing. You know, you want to. I like to sit down with a customer and just like I was telling him, what are you going to do with this? I'm not going to sit there and build them the Queen Mary. When he only needs a little putt-putt boat.
What's interesting, though, when people say they just want a basic computer, I want to do email, I want to do word processing, I want to do games, well, that's not a basic computer anymore.
Right.
But what basic has become is much more advanced than it used to be.
Right, if all you're going to do is AOL and web browsing and email, that's a basic computer. Even AOL, if you're going to play the games, you need a faster machine.
Right, if you're playing online games and trying to get into the internet games, you need a better than basic machine.
Right, but we're going to take a quick break now. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. We've got Ray and Richard and Sal on the line. Plenty of room and time for you to join us. I'm Nick Francesco. This is Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
When they show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Our next caller is Ray from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome, Ray. What's your question?
Good morning. Actually, I have two, and they're kind of separate. One is involved with firewalls. Whenever I have a laptop, an HP, and whenever I go out and about on town into different hotels, I have to disable my Norton's in order to be able to access the Internet. Is that standard? Am I doing something wrong?
No, because usually most places have their own built-in firewall, and that's why you're not getting on out.
Okay.
Because a hotel, to do, you know, wireless and all that, they have to have it on a hub router anyways.
Right.
Even if they've got repeaters, but that's all going through usually an internal hardwire, you know, a firewall within, say, like the hotel or a cafe or something like that, that they've got it there. And if you've got the Norton, that's kind of, you know, doing double duty, and it gets blocked.
On the other side of that, you can configure your Norton firewall to allow traffic to go through when you're out at places like that, but that's a pain, and you have to make
constantly changing
different configurations for every different place you go to.
Okay. So I don't necessarily have to worry about that, about anything coming in. Okay. The next question is dealing with, is there a music program out there other than RealPlayer or iTunes that is going to help me handle my music on the laptop?
You mean a jukebox type program or creating music?
Jukebox, playing CDs and, you know, that I already own.
Total Recorder does.
Well, that's more of a recorder. Something like
Winamp.
Yeah. The Windows Media Player, the Real Jukebox, the iTunes, those are the primary jukebox programs.
Okay. Is there a way to move stuff from Real Player to iTunes, stuff that's already in Real Player, to iTunes?
Sure. Drag the file from the desktop into the iTunes window.
Well, it depends on whether it's in Real's format.
If it's Real has a proprietary format, the .ra.
Okay.
But if it's a generic format like MP3 or AIF, then you can transfer it easily.
Just click and drag.
Yep.
All right.
There's also, in iTunes, there's an add to library command. You can point that, add to library, and it says what folder do you want to scan. You know, just have it scan your whole hard drive if you want.
All right.
May take a while.
Yeah.
If you know where your music is stored, which is usually the My Music folder,
it is.
Then you can just scan that, and it brings in everything it can.
Oh, well, okay. It will do that. Okay.
Yep.
All righty.
There you go.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, Ray.
I've noticed that about a lot of the other jukebox programs is they don't make it easy to switch, which sort of makes sense from their end.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want you to switch away from Windows Media Player.
Right. Our next caller is Richard from Angelica, New York. Where's Angelica, Richard?
Hello there. I got a question about a Mac.
Okay, before you answer that question, where is Angelica?
In the Southern Tier.
There you go. Thanks. Go ahead. Ask your question.
Okay. I just installed Tiger. And one of the things that comes up very frequently when I shut down from the Apple menu, I get this little black box in four languages saying, "You need to restart your computer. Hold down the power button for several seconds or press the restart button." And when I so do, it doesn't restart, it shuts off.
When you hold down the power button, it's supposed to shut off. That window you're seeing is called a kernel panic. It's basically how we've named it. It means something is horribly wrong somewhere, and the operating system is dying a sick and horrible death. Generally speaking, kernel panics mean bad RAM in the computer. But we've also seen it with directory problems or even corrupted installation system files.
Hmm.
So a couple of things you can run. In your utilities folder is the disk utility, and you can run the repair disk and repair permissions. And then with the computer, you have to run the repair disk off of your Tiger installation CD. And then there's also a disk that may have come with your computer called the Apple hardware test. And that will do a hardware check of the computer. But the kernel panic screen is an error message, basically, that something is wrong somewhere. It may be a program that's not Tiger compatible. Did you have any extra utilities installed in your computer Probably. Norton Utilities is not compatible with Tiger. Norton Antivirus 9 is not compatible with Tiger. You need version 10. A lot of the extra utilities that put stuff in your system preferences have to be updated for system 10.
Norton SystemWorks, that's not compatible, is it?
Correct. That is not compatible with Tiger. You can get Norton Antivirus version 10 that will run under Tiger.
Get.
Right. But the Norton Utilities is not compatible. The Norton Firewall is not compatible.
Okay.
So it's there's something wrong somewhere. It may be a compatibility issue, maybe bad RAM. If the diagnostic tests that you run don't indicate an exact problem, you may need to bring it in somewhere, and they can take a deeper look at it.
Okie doke. Thank you very much. Our next caller is Sal from Fairport, New York.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Peachy, how are you?
Good. Normally it's Mac, but I have a Windows question
sure.
for you. Tried installing Firefox onto my dad's computer, and in the initial setup, it asked for, I guess it was how to handle a DNS, if I recall the message correctly. Gave me a recommendation. I took the recommendation. Now the program doesn't connect to the Internet whatsoever. I went into Internet connection through the control panel and had it automatically look for it. Didn't work. Tried to do direct connect to the Internet. Didn't work.
Yeah, what you're looking in the wrong place. Yeah.
Okay.
Open up Firefox. Click on the Tools menu.
Okay.
And select Options.
Okay.
There's a bunch of icons down the side. You want to click on the General icon.
Right.
And then the bottom choice, there's a bunch of little boxes. The bottom one is about connection.
I did that.
And you look.
I did go in there.
Okay, and it just says direct connection to the Internet. You've got that selected?
Yes. Tried that and it still doesn't connect.
All right.
How do you normally connect to the internet?
It's normally he was running Roadrunner and I looked at it on his Netscape and that's exactly the same way. Direct connect to the internet.
Does
and Netscape works.
Netscape works fine.
Netscape works. So does IE.
So does IE.
Why don't you try uninstalling Firefox and reinstalling?
Did that too. I tried the basic stuff like that. I'm just trying to figure out how to. There must be some preference that's been
changed, yeah.
Well, it's stored somewhere that took that option for Firefox on how it should be handled. I guess I can't recall the exact message. A DNS sounds...
Yeah, a DNS, it's wondering...
How to handle that, and the
well,
recommendation
that's generally,
gave me.
Well, that's generally the Windows Internet Connection Wizard, not Firefox itself.
Okay, that sounds right.
But if you're already connected to the Internet, then the wizard shouldn't have opened.
Well, it did, and it gave me a recommendation. So, it's one of those conspiracy theories.
I
wonder if it's Windows is trying to block Firefox.
Well, check on the other side of the connection. Go into network control panel's network LAN connection.
Okay.
Is it Ethernet or USB for the cable?
It's Ethernet.
Ethernet. Okay, that's easier because there's no drivers.
Okay.
No special USB drivers. Make sure that the LAN connection is set to your primary connection and it's not trying to dial first. There's a setting in there to dial.
Right.
If no connection is present, dial, then use the Internet. So make sure that's all set up right. But if Netscape is working, it probably is set up right.
Yep.
Yeah, it is.
That's the weird
part.
It's
very weird.
We'll have to look into that
one. We'll dig around.
We will. We'll dig around. I don't have an answer for you, and I wish I did. I'm sorry. Our next caller is Zach from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Zach. What's your question?
I had a question about home wireless networking. It's for a large house, and I'm wondering what is the effective range of the new systems that have the MIMO technology and things like that?
It's pretty good. I mean, I've got one, the newer Linksys, that has the booster on it.
Uh-huh.
And I've got a three-story house, and I can literally, it's down in the basement, and I can go all the way up to the attic.
The nominal range is 150 feet, but that depends a lot on the construction of the house.
Uh-huh.
A lot of newer houses are using aluminum joists, which will block the signal. A lot of really old houses use plaster over chicken wire that can block the signal.
That's my problem.
So
I can barely get off the floor.
What we've seen in several installations we've tried doing, and especially older houses, we have to put a router on every floor because it can't make it through the ceiling to get up into the next room.
Right.
Yeah, I had a brand new home where literally the router was right below me, one floor underneath. and I was directly sitting on top of it up in this other room, and it couldn't make a connection.
There must have been like steel I-beams.
The kids' rooms off to the left and right could connect no problem.
Well, right, because they were on the same floor.
On the same floor. We had trouble with a customer
on the second floor, though,
who wanted to be on their patio. And it turns out they had leaded glass windows.
Yep.
And that blocked the radio signal, too. Well, so a lot of times you may end up putting a couple of the access points around the house and hardwire them together so that you can get a larger extended range.
Have you had any experience in using the power line adapter systems to try and allow networking in a large house? Is that easy to set up, and does it generally work really well?
It's yes to both questions. The big trick there is how your circuitry is wired in your house.
Okay.
That if it's on the same circuit, you're pretty well set. You can get Ethernet on the same circuit.
Okay.
If it has to go to a different circuit, different electrical circuit, if they've put too many filters in your electrical panel, then that can block out the power signal as well.
If you've got an old home with older wiring, there can often be a lot of crosstalk.
Right. What we've seen a lot of people do is mixing the technologies. They're trying to get a wireless signal around an outbuilding on a small pond. You put a power line into the electrical socket, and then the wireless signal hangs off of that.
Right.
So you're running Ethernet and then wireless.
Okay.
So a combination of all the technologies. In fact, one of the magazines last month had an article on using the Pringles can to make a directional antenna. For some reason, any aluminum lined
can
and the Pringles can happens to be the right diameter for the wavelength of the radio frequency, so you can make an extended antenna, and with a directional antenna. There's also commercial antennas and unidirectional and omnidirectional antennas. For about $100, you can get a unidirectional antenna, and most of the wireless access companies have their own antenna boosters.
Yep.
You can get longer range out of your antenna,
but that's the price.
Right. Again, that goes to the construction in your home. If you've got lead walls, then nothing's going to get through it.
Yeah.
Not even Superman.
Not even Superman.
All right, we're going to head on over to our next caller, who is Lance from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Lance. What's your question?
Well, hi.
Hi.
Not so much a question as a very surprised comment.
Okay.
I pretty near fell out of my seat, except the steering wheel was in the way.
Oh, good.
when you mentioned Zilog.
Yeah.
My first non-IBM assembly language programming job was with the Zilog Z80.
What a great chip, huh?
What a great chip. Their Z86 was too late, and I thought they went out of business.
Yeah, no, they're still around, and they're still doing... if you've got a controller, there's a Zilog in it, most likely. Yeah, the Zilog Z80 was the chip that was in the Osborne 1. It was in the... a couple of the others of that era, and it was a great chip in its day. It was the fastest, the best, and pretty inexpensive.
I was building it into our commercial medical program, government, I guess it was. But anyhow, I fell in love with it.
It's a great chip, and you can still find them. Zilog is still on the market, Zilog.com.
Yeah.
You can head on over there. They still sell a bunch of chips. They're all 8-bit microprocessor controller chips. And they still sell bunches of them.
Well, I'm out of that field now. I'm retired.
You can never retire from the Zilog, I'll tell you that right now, Lance.
But I was surprised to hear it.
Well, thanks. Thanks for calling in and sharing that. That's a great story. We appreciate it very much. Thanks. Our next caller is Brian from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
I got a comment and a question.
Okay.
For Ray, that was looking for the jukebox program, the site that actually I got from Nick, nonags.com, has a ton of freeware, and I know they have a bunch of different player programs, and they rate them as well, which is kind of helpful.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The question I have, I had a CD writer that died on me recently. Didn't completely die, and I got some help from the forums in figuring out that it was a bad drive.
Good. Mm-hmm. Our forums are phenomenal.
Yep.
Running the Nero test. Anyway, that was my excuse to go get a DVD writer.
Oh, good for you.
There you go.
Which
are pretty darn cheap these days, too.
It was a lot cheaper than I paid for the CD writer, yeah. You know, like 2 years ago. So, I wondered, I have a CD burning program, but it doesn't do DVDs, and I wondered if you guys had a preference between Roxio or Nero or...
Well, you got to use whatever comes with the DVD.
Not necessarily.
I got it from Newegg, so it was an OEM, and there wasn't anything with it.
A lot of the bundled software only works with that brand of player. But if you buy the generic Easy CD Creator or the generic Nero,
I'm a fan of Nero, but that's just me.
I kind of like the Roxio a little better.
Well, Nero works with the majority of them, even if they don't come bundled with it. You're safer with that. I was going to say.
Well, apparently you get to flip a coin, Brian. And in the meantime, we're going to
download demos of both.
Download the demos and try them both. Yeah. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. We got Joe and Josh and Madeline on the line, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Whams. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. Our next caller is Joe from Buffalo. Hey, Joe, what do you know?
Howdy. Long as we're taking a little stroll down memory lane here, my first computer was a Sinclair ZX81, which, of course, was Z80-based.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I had a Jupiter Ace, which was the Sinclair with that little chiclet keyboard, except instead of BASIC, it ran Forth. But it was the same device. It was very cool.
If you could handle the reverse Polish notation type computing, Forth is, a nifty little language.
It's very fast and very compact, so I could actually write bigger programs that ran faster on that Jupiter Ace than I could on my Sinclair.
Is Fifth out by now?
Stop. Go ahead, Joe. What's your question?
All right.
Well, that's how we ended up with A, B, and C. A and B didn't work, so we've got C.
Right. At work, I kind of inherited this Solaris system. I was wondering if you guys know a whole lot about Solaris.
We don't know a lot about it. Now, unfortunately, Tony Placilla isn't here this week. Maybe let's get Tony on next week.
Yeah.
Let's get Tony on next week.
I'll see if I can get a hold of him.
Get hold of him. See if we can get Tony on next week. Tony is our Linux Solaris kind of guru.
Why don't you call?
I'm not going to tell you right now.
I'll talk to him
this week. Okay.
One thing I can say, the guy looking for DVD burning programs.
Yeah.
I mean, under Linux, there's a handful of them available. If he could only take the leap to feel the power of the penguin, you know?
Yeah.
I just installed K3B. What's your favorite one?
I just used DVD record. Yeah. And for, call me arcane, I use Make ISO file system to, make up my CDs and DVDs.
Right. Well, those are data disks, though. Not playable DVDs.
Well, DVDs are really just the ISO 9660, and they just happen to have directory.
Yeah, that video TS folder that the DVD player looks for.
That's the thing I don't know how to create.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a blank folder.
It's a VOB data file. So
we'll see if we can get Tony on next week and see what happens.
Yeah, we'll talk about getting Tony on next week to help you with your Solaris problem. I'm sorry, Joe, we're not... really Solaris people. I wish we were.
Played with it a couple of times. You know, the company I worked for about 12 years ago was using Solaris on their Sun IPXs.
Right. Our next caller is Josh from Greece, New York. Welcome, Josh. What's your question?
Hi. I'm trying to... Well, usually I direct connect to play a video game.
Right.
And what I can't do is when I'm going on a router, I can't play when I'm on a router. But I was wondering how would I open the ports... to play that?
It depends on your router, but most of them have an interface, either an interface program or a web interface built in. With the Linksys routers I typically use, you go to 192.168.1.1, and there's a game.
.0.1
is Netgear and D-Link. And you can log into your router. It usually asks for your administration password. That if you haven't changed it, it's whatever the router default is. And you can go to either a gaming page or a port forwarding page, and you have to know what port the game uses, and then on that page you can open that port for your computer.
That's semi-dangerous, of course, because now you've opened a hole into your system from the internet. But particularly if you're diligent about closing it when you're done and opening it when you're playing, it shouldn't be too much of a problem.
That's what I was going to say.
Most of the router websites have instructions on their website for opening the port for playing a game, too.
Right. They list, many of them list specific games.
You may have to look under the FAQs.
Right.
Okay.
That's probably your best way to go right now.
It's in your router configuration screen. And some programs, we had questions about AOL Instant Messenger. It opens a random port in a wide range when it's trying to create a connection. So it's very hard to get AIM working behind a firewall.
Right. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. We have Madeline, or perhaps Madeline, Troy, and Lynn on the line. We'll try to get to all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
WHAM Seniors. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And on the line, we have Troy and Lynn and Rose. But very quickly before we get to them, Steve's got a public service announcement.
And we just lost the camera. You broke it.
Oh, man.
No, anyone looking at the webcam right now just got a nice shot up Rob's nose.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yes, as a public service announcement, we at Jesse Group, we're opening a new store in Victor, hopefully later this month. We've got web pictures on our website as the construction is progressing. We have immediate openings for sales clerks, administrative staff, service technicians, web development, pretty much anything.
Pretty much anything.
So, we kind of like college students who are home for the summer. Or college students who live here and are off of college for the summer so that we don't have to retrain everyone in September again.
Right.
But if you know someone looking for a job in those types of positions, you can send a
resume. These are full-time.
Full-time or part-time.
Right.
Also our kiosk in Eastview Mall. You can send a resume to sales@jessegroup.com or call our office, 624-1920.
And we know in these parlous times, many of our listeners are looking for work. And so as a public service, we're delighted to point that out. Our next caller, Troy from Holly, New York. Welcome, Troy. What's your question?
Actually, I have three questions. They're pretty much related, actually. I recently got a new PDA, and I want to download my email on it, and I need an email application running on my computer, which, of course, I don't. I have webmail, and I access it, wherever. I want to put a Thunderbird on there, but I've never configured anything like it. I assume it's similar to Outlook Express.
Can you
set it up?
Yeah, very similar.
One of the problems you may run into is not all webmail services are accessible through a POP or IMAP mail program. Some of them you can only access. In fact, most of them you can only access from a web page. Which one are you using?
I'm using Yahoo and also Gmail, so...
And what type of PDA do you have?
It's a Sony.
Is it Clie or Clicky?
Yeah, because sometimes they won't do it because of the Java, and if they don't have the Java for that particular OS, it's running on the.
And a lot of the PDAs will only work with Outlook.
Yeah. So you might have that constraint because, like, on my I've got a Dell Axiom, and I want to do it because of they haven't updated the Java. For that particular OS that runs on that PDA, I can't load the Java because I'm limited to Internet Explorer.
Right.
So
now, if you're using Gmail, it does POP 3, and they have explanations on their system how to deal with that.
And it works fine with Thunderbird.
And it works fine with Thunderbird. So you need to go to the Gmail website. And if right from that front screen down at the lower right, it says learn more about Gmail. That's where you need to go for that one. I'm sorry. I got to cut you off there. We got a couple other people we'd like to try to get on as many as possible in the last couple of minutes here. Lynn from Honey Eye Falls. What's your question, Lynn?
A couple of questions. One is I have a Pentium 4 with ME. Does it make any sense to upgrade it to XP?
What
Definitely.
Processor?
I have Windows ME.
Yeah, but and how much?
What speed is your Pentium 4?
I'm not sure.
How much memory?
Not even sure of that.
Okay, what you need to do is look and see what those are. You want a minimum of 256 meg of RAM, and 512 is better. And you want a minimum of 300 megahertz processor speed, and 500 is better.
Because, see, the thing you got to do is you got to start figuring out what it's going to cost you in software and everything else versus buying a new machine.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
But that would certainly overcome a lot of the problems that ME has.
Yes, definitely.
Right. Lynn, you're much better off with XP than with ME. Even if you have to do a little bit of upgrading, you're better off.
I can get my computer.
What? No, you were very good about that. As I thought for a moment you were comatose. We're done for another week. I want to apologize to all the folks we didn't get to. I want to thank everybody who called in. We had a good week this week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco. We're going to be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. Hopefully we'll manage to get Tony Placilla on. It's been a while, and we need to get Tony on, and he can talk about Solaris and all of that other stuff. This is Soundbites. This is 1180 WHAM. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. I'm Nick Francesco.
Improve.